How can we be a church that's better at weeping with those who weep? And could we have more periods of reflection and services to help make it more normal to sit in this lament as we did last week?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a challenging question to me, to be honest. I want to say sorry for the ways that we haven't been as good at weeping with those who weep, the ways that I've not personally been as good at doing that. Just on the issue of the periods of reflection, yeah, it was good that we did that last week. I guess the issue is that shouldn't be a one-off thing that you do in a particularly intense talk in Job once every 5 years or whatever, but how do we bring that into our rhythms of church life? So we'll take that on board and think about that as we think about the services, but more generally on weeping with those who weep. This is a gift that some people have, and thank you for those of you who in the church family do have this gift and empathy. It's something that we all should grow in, though, because if we can't weep with those who weep in the family of God, where can we? We should be able to, partly because we should be real about what life is like. The stuff that Job expressed in his groanings shouldn't make us uncomfortable as Christians. We should get more than anyone the way the world is. So just to approach people, I think there's an inevitable isolation in suffering, but again, in the family of God, let's try and get over that. Let's approach people in their tears. Maybe it means some of us having to be the vulnerable ones who do cry and express our sorrows in church, doesn't it? Because if no one actually expresses that, then, you know, we won't grow in that. And so it will mean vulnerability from some of us in that way. There's not very many good lament songs that we found when we were thinking about last week. And Carson, maybe you could write some more. Where is he? Or if you know of good lament songs and liturgies, point them our way because they would help us too.
Thank you. That's really helpful. Questions have jumped. What is helpful to say to a friend who's actively asking us, why me? Sometimes the answer, I don't know, God doesn't tell us, feels insufficient.
Yeah, it is. So if you just had today's teaching, that is insufficient. The answer to that has to be to enter that why me with your friend in all that involves. Job gave us what that looks like last week, doesn't he? So that's someone who's expressing deep grief and sorrow, so you know, enter that with them. And as they groan towards God, as Job repeatedly did last week, again, give a friend the space to do that without jumping in with neat theological things along the way. And help nudge people towards the hope that we have, that Job expressed last week, the hope that his Redeemer lives. Don't, you know, that's not the first thing Job said, so don't jump in with that too quickly, but maybe even to pray that hope for a person if they're not able to express it themselves. But that why me, that's something deep that is all about Job's response in this whole book. So let's not run roughshod over it with neat, quick answers.
Thank you. There are a few questions which are quite similar, which are about, let me just read them out. Isn't God really being really unfair to Job? It's clear he doesn't deserve this. He's just being used to prove a point. A similar question, how can we call God good, perfect and good if he chooses not to remove suffering when he could? And then also that question, you said we shouldn't let God off the hook for his role, but it seems like we do in practice. Whether God allowed or instructed this, we might say he's responsible, but not blameworthy.
Mm, yeah, and again, to let people live with how all of that feels and the feeling of, you know, why are you doing this to us, God? We can't see a purpose on that. Somewhere in all of those questions, I'd want to go to the cross. I think it's so interesting in Acts 2 how in Peter's sermon he describes what happens at the cross as being, and it's the same sentence in Acts 2. He says this was the definite plan of God, and lawless men crucified him. So, you know, was God responsible for the cross? Well, the cross was the definite foreknowledge and plan of God, and you can say it was done by evil men. So the cross is an evil thing. Does God think the murder of his son is a good thing? No. But was it somehow in his plan and purposes? Yes. Now, that if that blows your mind, I suppose good. It blows mine. I don't understand all of that. And in a sermon where we've talked about the unknowns, it's actually quite liberating to do a question time because I'll feel quite comfortable on lots of this to say I don't know. But what the cross does is not just give us a tangible example of how all those tensions can be true at the same time. It's the thing that shows us that God gets our suffering. Helen prayed about that. That is, you know, Jesus meets us as the sufferer. The cross shows us that God, the Father, has skin in the game, as it were, on innocent suffering. That's the wrong phrase to use because it's not a game. But what I mean is he's fully invested in innocent suffering at the cross personally. And it's not just a big tangible example of all of this in practice, the cross. It's the thing that means we can trust that God is good and does have a plan beyond the suffering, because it's what Jesus did there that means we have hope beyond the suffering. So it's somewhere in all of those questions I want to say, I don't know, and let's go to the cross for some comfort.
Thank you so much. This person asks, should we look at Job as a model sufferer? If we do, should we encourage those in suffering to use the words of Job to pray? Or are there also some things Job says which are not correct and which we shouldn't say?
Yeah, God's very clear at the end, maybe surprisingly clear. Job's friends were wrong, and that Job spoke rightly about me, not like you friends. And that's quite interesting. You might think, did Job speak rightly about God? I think you have to take it as a whole package. And as the whole package, yes, Job is a model sufferer. So he expresses how the pain feels. He directs his groan towards God because he believes in a sovereign and good God. So inevitably you're wrestling with him if you're experiencing unjust suffering. And then he leans in to that hope. I know that my Redeemer lives, even though he's still wrestling and still in pain. So Job, God seems to commend all of that. Job says at the end, you know, clearly I was speaking into a realm that I didn't know about, and he's humbled by an encounter with God. But his comfort at the end actually is not that he knows all the answers. It's that he trusts that God is bigger than the pain and the sorrow. So, yeah, model sufferer. Use his words if they're helpful.
Kev, what do you do if you think you're under spiritual attack and if you're praying for help but nothing's changing?
Well, that's a really tough place to be, and I seek prayer and help today if that's who you probably already are. The fact that you're still praying, though, and wanting to lean into God and change, that in itself is great, a great sign of the Spirit at work. And I want to encourage you in that. The fact that you want to keep leaning in that direction is God's Spirit at work in you. And seek prayer from others and an arm around you from others where that battle is too big for you to bear yourself. Sometimes you may not be able to actually pray, and that's where brothers and sisters praying with us is such a help.
Shall we do a couple more?
Yeah.
What have we not had yet? In talk one, you said, accumulate this wisdom now before the dark days hit. But what if the dark days have hit, but I haven't got this foundations in time?
Yeah, well, too late? That's honest. Well, the thing that encourages me from your question is you still, in the dark days, you're still able to listen. You've still been able to engage with some of this. So I want to encourage you in that. Keep trying to engage in the dark days with the teaching on suffering as much as you can. And again, we've said Job's armor for days ahead when we suffer, but it is also for the moment, isn't it? Just by nature of Job's speeches and what he expresses there. So I hope you'll find right now in this dark moment in Job's words something that can express towards God how you're feeling.
Thank you. And then maybe let's make this one the last one. What does it look like? How does it look like to leaning into God if it's not always about repenting of our sins?
Just talking to him about how we feel. That's really what Job does. It's clear that Job is not repenting of his sins. So, and I want to say again, you know, that Jesus everywhere it comes up seems to go against this idea that you're being disciplined. There's one or two places in the New Testament that maybe that's what's going on, but how would you know? And the book of Job is trying to push us away from that assumption towards more of a general, I guess, partly freedom to express how suffering feels and to express that to the Lord. He's your Father in heaven, and he wants to hear from you even on the darkest of moments.